following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You know that feeling. 2:30 in the afternoon, a lot to do, and you hit the wall. You're tired and groggy, but you gotta get stuff done. So take a 5-hour energy. Just open it up, knock it back, and roll up your sleeves. 5-hour energy is faster and easier than coffee, and man, does it work. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. A lot of stuff. 5-hour energy, when you gotta get stuff done. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to fast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to fast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show. Earlier this year, Chris Brown performed in front of 18,000 fans. Every weekday on your ESPN Superstation, Doug and Danny perform in front of...
Not 18,000 fans.
Three, six.
That wasn't close.
When asked who would pick Chris Brown over Doug and Danny, Tony Davis responded with...
Who raises these people, wolves?
Ain't no doubt. Oh, God, we're going in the wrong direction here.
Of course I miss it.
As usual, during this hour, you're not paying attention. I win again.
Well, I don't know you say again, Doug.
All right, guys, cool it. Let's go to the intro. Sports director Doug Duda.
Merritt's on it today. Some of us can go with it.
Yeah,
I say that a chick. I don't know what you're watching.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
You hit somebody, you go to jail. That's just what happens.
Mohawk.
Why don't you take some responsibility and don't be the gangster like all my brothers and my homeboys back in the hood?
Now let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. And a happy new year. Happy 2012. Glad you made it through the weekend. Hopefully all is going well for you as we begin 2012. Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis here with you on the program. Let's get you the particulars because you might want to call the show. You might want to email the show today. The email address, Doug and Daddy. You spell out the word and. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Also, the phone number, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Happy New Year, big fella.
Well, Happy New Year, Douglas. I know everybody still... I think the basic feeling is people still shaking their head yesterday from yesterday's game, Doug. I think so many opportunities. Vamoosh. They were just disappeared one after another. And when it seemed like Nebraska, nothing could go right after drop passes and whatnot, when you were looking for a big stop on third down, here came the pass interference call, which is just a bad call a back judge made. It just compounded the problem. Nebraska never did rebound from it. After the first drive in the third quarter, Nebraska's offense went away, and the game was over. When you can't generate any offense at all, and you'd think with the playmakers, especially, well, you'd think with Rex Burkhead, you're seeing that you should be able to move the ball at times. They could not in the second half. And that was disappointing. One of those things you look back and say, you miss a chip shot field goal, and it's a sick, sick taste, and I'm sure it's a sick taste in every senior's mouth that's leaving the program after yesterday. But, man, what a miserable, miserable second half of football when you thought the first half, take away the Hail Mary pass, which is just unbelievably disappointing because – I cannot believe you don't have somebody back behind every South Carolina guy there, first of all. And maybe you're supposed to. Maybe that's what Coach Pelini said when he said we didn't execute what we were supposed to do. But the first half, Nebraska played a pretty solid football game, I think, or pretty solid half of football. And then the second half, it's like their defense did some – mixing up things. And after the first drive, our offense couldn't do anything. And they got the points they needed when they needed them. And Nebraska never scored again, so they had enough points at halftime, I guess. But it was over.
That's how I feel about it. Bo Pelini, and you'll hear it here in a little bit, he come out and flat out said, I still think we're the better football team. My team thinks we're the better football team, but you got to go out and execute. And that word was used time and time and time again. And you can pick up your papers or read your internets with Dirk Chatelain and Tom Chattel and Steve Sippel and Sean Callahan on Husker Online. You can look at all their articles on what there is. Everybody's just frustrated that Nebraska can't
finish.
But again, it's always every game is new. You can't say that Nebraska didn't finish or win a game. Look at Ohio State. Look at Michigan State. You can't say that Nebraska didn't. I mean, we weren't looking good early against Fresno State, Washington. I mean, say what you want. They came out and finished in some of those games. It was such an unpredictable year. The problem is that when Nebraska loses, everybody thinks, we just couldn't do it again. Couldn't do it again. I do think Nebraska is a better football team than South Carolina. That Connor Shaw did anything against. They couldn't run the ball against Nebraska for most of the football game. Nebraska, it's frustrating when he's back there 5-6. He can't get anybody. There's nobody to throw to. And yet you still can't get him sacked. You can't get him down. Or he finally, after 7 or 8 seconds, heads upfield and gains a little bit. I know that's frustrating, but that's the game of football.
They've utilized that defense. I think you go back Tyrod Taylor at Virginia Tech to contain the quarterback. They thought where Connor Shaw would hurt them is if he got to running around. That was what they thought going into the game. It didn't look like he was all that explosive of a runner. I mean, it wasn't like, wow, look at his speed once he got to the outside. There were a couple times he picked up first downs. When you drop 7 people into coverage, people are going to be covered back there. It's interesting, though, that people want to get pressure on the quarterback. And they got more guys to block the 4 guys we got rushing. So they should be able to keep them out of there. We got more guys back there covering their wide receivers and their tight ends running down the field. We should be able to cover them back there. So that's just more of a cat and mouse game. I don't know. Hindsight, you said you'd want to get some pressure on him, but they didn't want to let him get outside, so that was a cat-and-mouse game they were playing.
We'd love you to vote on our ATS Hot Topic question of the day. How would you grade Nebraska's football season? Go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Vote on the ATS Hot Topic. Grade the Nebraska football season. We'll hear what Bo Pelini had to say after yesterday's football game. Very gracious. It sounds like the whole experience outside of the outcome of the football game was very good for the Huskers, the players, the coaches, the fans. And here's what Coach Pelini had to say.
Well played football game, and it was a tough game. We disappointed, obviously. Kids played hard. I told our kids in our locker room, walk out of there with your head held high. And I'm proud of their football team. I'm proud of the season we had. Obviously, we didn't finish off the way we wanted, but doesn't take away from where we are, where we're going, what we've accomplished. And somebody had to lose that game, and we had our opportunities. We had plenty of opportunities to, and we didn't take advantage of them. And for that, I give South Carolina credit, but we did a lot to help them. And it's a shame. Tough game, tough loss. Thank the Capital One people, first-class place. First-class people, outstanding treatment. It was a great week, and a great week for our team. I appreciate everybody associated with the bowl game and the class they showed, the hospitality they showed. It couldn't have gone any better except for, obviously, the result here at the game. But it doesn't take away from everything, all the efforts they made for us on our behalf, and I thank every one of them.
Then it gets turned over to the question and answer session there, and most of the questions are about what happened in the second half. What do you do when you're struggling in the second half? Well, what happened in the second half?
Bo, did you expect more from your team today in terms of how sharp they were? I mean, the penalties really got you late.
Yeah, especially in the second half. I said that I mean, how do you explain it? I don't think we had any in the first half. I don't know. But in the second half, you know, whether they got rattled, I don't know. Thought they were flinching at us some. I thought there were some things that should have been called. But, you know, we didn't handle it well. And bottom line is we had our opportunities to, you know, it should have been a different score when those penalties even started coming up. You know, if we take care of our business, you know, you can't give a good football team the amount of things that we gave South Carolina today and not take advantage of as many opportunities as we had to put points on the board. And you watched the game. I mean,
Bo, what did you see, or what explanations did you get on the play where Dennard and Jeffrey were ejected?
They said they both threw punches and they got to throw them out.
Coach, only two turnovers in the whole game, but it seemed to be pivotal, especially since they didn't have any. 13 points in the first quarter, none after that. What transpired?
We had opportunities and made boneheaded plays. We had opportunities that not put them away, but get a couple score lead and put the ball on the ground. Didn't execute. Jumped off, you know. Didn't execute. And you're not going to win a football game like that.
Coach, obviously the play at the end of the first half was huge for South Carolina.
You think?
What happened on that from your perspective?
We didn't execute well. Guys didn't do what they were coached to do. Period. End of story. We didn't execute the play, and they did. Good for them.
Did you sense after that Hail Mary that your team sort of deflated at all? Because the second half performance was so different from the first half in terms of discipline and other things.
You know, we came out in the first series of the second half and drive right down the field. Then we don't execute in the red zone, and we missed a field goal. Whether our guys, you know, we stopped them a few times, and we just didn't execute offensively from that point forward. I mean, it was disappointing. You know, it felt we were still right there to take the football game, and eventually they made a few plays, and the game changed. And like I said, we had our chances. Yeah. Even if we make the field goal, it's probably a different case. You know, whether did our guys get deflated? I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. We kept playing hard. We just didn't. When you start jumping off sides and you start putting yourself off schedule, I told you, I said it earlier in the week. I said you can't play, you can't execute offensively like that. You can't play off schedule. You can't start jumping off sides and do things like that. And we were our own worst enemy. We were our own worst enemy in opportunities we didn't take advantage of in the first half. When we continued it with some of the penalties, we started creeping up in the second half.
Bo Pelini, after yesterday's Capital One Bowl, where Nebraska lost 30-13, had the ball punched out of their hands inside the 10. Martinez makes one, I guess, big mistake that gets picked off in South Carolina territory. You miss a field goal after you're inside the 10, the sack penalties. Maher hadn't missed one in inside of 40 yards in his career, so that's why ABC or ESPN put up the graphic, so that then he could miss that, as so often happens. But I think he's frustrated. It almost sounds like, well, we had him in the right places, but they didn't do what we taught him. Sound familiar?
It's the same thing. He
sound
always
familiar?
Says.
5 years ago? 6 years ago? Well?
No.
I'm not throwing Bo under the bus. I'm just saying it's the same. You could go back and find the clip from Billy C, and you can find the clip here, and they'd be very similar.
If you go, you know what, the people that want, is Bo getting it done? Folks, there's one of only five programs that have won 9 games or more the last 5 years. Right, Doug?
Yeah, and then somebody else says it's 8 for 4 years, so whatever. Yeah.
But you're one of those teams that's winning games. Now remember, and then so somebody yesterday said, our schedule sucks. We haven't beat anybody. Going into this year, we had one of the toughest schedules. When you named off Wyoming, when the non-conference schedule was announced and you named off those teams, folks, going into that year, Fresno State, Washington, Wyoming, everybody was saying, "What? Oh my gosh, what a
toughest non-conference schedule in years.
Gauntlet, you know, whatever. I mean, what to pick your word.
Wisconsin, Ohio State to start the Big Ten, Michigan State, Dan Persa, Northwestern.
And you haven't beat anybody yet. Well, you got to come up. Fireball Blaney. Okay.
Don't let the non-Husker fan get you down. Don't let the people that just complain to get under your skin get you down. Don't let the people that don't wear Husker gear get you down. Don't let the people that don't go to a Husker game and stay for the whole game get you down. Don't let these people that watch half a game and then know it all get you down. Be the Husker fan. Cheer for the Husker team. Yeah, you want to play for a national championship. We beat the team that won the Rose Bowl. How the hell didn't we beat anybody? Answer me that, Husker fan, that's saying that we didn't beat anybody. Nebraska didn't beat anybody. Huh?
No,
we beat the team that won the Rose Bowl. We hammered the team that won the Rose Bowl. Or not the Rose Bowl.
Michigan State. At you funny.
Well, Wisconsin. That's another segment. You talk about the
Outback.
Hose job.
Outback Bowl.
You talk about the hose job at the end of that game. So Wisconsin hung with Oregon when everybody said they were going to get killed. Okay, Wisconsin. You know, it's one of those things. Last team, they go to the replay and can't realize that the clock's running before the whistle blows. Blows my mind. How long does it take to spike a ball? 1 second. How could 2.5 possibly run off the clock? That's anyway. Huskers, whatever. Whatever you want.
Well, Doug, I'm just telling you, you know, you were hearing it yesterday too. I was hearing it. I'm just looking at the senior class leaving this program. The senior class. And Jarrett Crick, expected to be such a huge part of this team, unfortunately gets hurt versus Ohio State, was hurt earlier in the year, didn't see the action that he wanted. If you want to get in, folks, 888-455-3776. You go down, and I got the 2011 roster in front of me, talent-wise, what Nebraska's missing. And I think anybody will agree, Mike Caputo is going to be a loss at center. People say, but the offensive line, way below what people expected. I think after the Washington game, everybody's been disappointed this whole year in the offensive line. Everybody's still on Barney Cotton's ass. Doug? Hasn't done anything with any of the talents been given him.
I thought our analysts were talking about how much more improved this offensive line had been going into this game. And although Rex Burkhead didn't rush for 100, he had 91 and a 2-yard loss, so net 89 against supposed one of the best defensive lines in the country. I thought they did okay.
I'm saying that's what people – I'm just saying that's what you hear from the outside. Fire Barney Codd. He's got to go to an administrative role. Get him out of there. He hasn't developed anybody since he's been there. I think Mike Caputo, Anthony Blue, no. Austin Cassidy, message boards lighting up. But my favorite – the best thing about this is I just lost Lance Terrell and Austin Cassidy playing their last games with Husker. Ah, ha, ha, good one.
Yeah. Dear Husker fan, if there was somebody better –
They'd be in there, right. We go to the phone line, see what we got.
Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line. Hello.
Hello. This is Alan from Bo from Bo.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah, I listen to your show every Monday or Tuesday after Nebraska plays. You know, I think Bo Bellini's doing a good job. You know, when we used to have the good coach, Tom Osborne and Bob Devaney, they didn't win their national championship until later on through the years. You know, they had a bunch of 9-4s and stuff like that when they were coached.
Oh, you're exactly right, Alan. And I know Tom Osborne was at the point of where, I mean, the famous looking at Colorado. I mean, so he'd been the head coach for 7 years, and they were ready to show him the door because he couldn't beat Oklahoma. And that was the only game on the schedule.
Yeah, I know. That's just like, you know, when we played Oklahoma. You know, we beat them once in a while, and I remember – we beat him on a snowy day in Lincoln, turned around and got beat by him in the Orange Bowl back in the early 70s. So,
yeah.
You know, I just think people ought to just look, hey, we got a good coach, and he's 9-4. You know, he could have been 0-10, 0-11, you know.
That would have been bad. Hey, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people, I just kind of get upset because I hear people. I've been a big Red fan ever since I was little, you know, back when Bob Devaney, so... And I like the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they don't win too many. So I'm still a fan, so I'd like to know.
Hey.
I think Bo Green is doing a good job.
Alan, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for the call today from Broken Bow, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. One more segment here from Bo Pelini. John Natawa asked him, what do you do when things aren't working as a staff? I think he wanted to use the word adjust. How do you make adjustments? Why weren't things working in the second half when they were working in the first half? One of the few games this year where Nebraska struggled in the second half.
Execute. You can't do it for them. I guess I don't know what you're saying. I mean, what do you mean? What can you do?
I don't know.
A magic wand or something? I don't know. You talk to them on the sideline and tell them to, you know, relax and get focused and hope they go out and execute.
Could you sense it, or was it, or am I making too big of a deal? I mean, were the players down at all at that moment or no? I see Rex shaking his head.
No, they were. We were right there in the game. We were right there. Up until, you know, even at 23-13, you're right there. I mean, but especially at 16-13, and you're right there to win the game. I'll say it straight out. Our football team feels we were better, even after the game, felt we were a better football team than them. But you got to go out and feel, you got to go out and earn it. It's a humbling game. And you got to, you know, you give them credit. They made plays. And I give all the credit to South Carolina. And, you know, we're a pretty good team too, but we just didn't execute in the times we needed to do it. And we made enough mistakes that we were our own worst enemy a lot of times. And you can't win football games like that.
That's the frustrating question. What are we missing? What is the team missing? What are the coaches missing? Were they not coached properly? I know people are thinking about that when most of the time they are. What happened? Sometimes it is frustrating. You don't want to throw your kids under the bus. But you're right. Here's the play we called. Here's the play we sent into them. And they let Jeffrey get behind him for a Hail Mary catch, which, you know, it happens. It's not the first time it's ever happened in the history of football. So there's some comments from Bo Pelini. We'll take a break. We've got some of your emails to get to. Love to hear from you. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia and more. Stay with us.
Hi, it's The Herd. Expensive legal fees shouldn't stand between you and your New Year's resolution. If you've resolved to finally make that will or living trust to protect your loved ones, go to LegalZoom.com. I did. If this is the year to take control of your finances and start your own business, go to LegalZoom.com. I did. Their step-by-step process makes it simple, and you get total customer support, including attorney help if you need it. Over 2 million people have saved a small fortune by using LegalZoom.com, including many of those who started companies on the Inc. 500 list. Maybe that's why they're so successful. For personal and business documents that have been accepted in courts and government agencies in all 50 states, you can trust LegalZoom. Want more savings? Enter Colin in the referral box at checkout. For a better way to do the law, go to LegalZoom.com. Attorney support provided through independent attorneys available in most states. LegalZoom's not a lawyer, and self-help services are provided at your direction.
Sir, what are you doing with that crayon?
Making our brochure. We're way behind schedule.
I've got a better idea. Let's call Copycat Printing.
Copycat Printing?
They're more than just copies. They're a full-service commercial printer and design staff. From wedding invitations to business printing, Copycat Printing can help you come up with ideas to make you stand out in the crowd.
So you don't like my stick figures?
Not so much. Copycat Printing at 21st and Avenue A across from Chicken Coop and Kearney. Online at KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing. A better idea.
2012 is here. That means more exciting high school basketball action on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Tonight on The Breeze 94.5 FM, the Adams Central Patriots travel to Sandy Creek to take on the Cougars. Girls at 6:15, the boys at 8. Then more basketball this week right here on ESPN, 1230 KHAS and Classic Hits 98.9. But tonight, Adams Central at Sandy Creek. The doubleheader begins at 6:15 on The Breeze 94.5.
The Michigan Wolverines sit at 10-2. They'll face Virginia Tech, looking to become the first team in the school's history to get 12 wins. The All-State Sugar Bowl.
Tuesday night at 6:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunny skies will develop through the day today as temperatures top off at about 56. The winds will also turn to the northwest, increasing to 10 to 20. Tonight, with mainly clear skies, will fall up to 26. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 36.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Rehashing the Husker game. We'll talk about some of the other sports that went on over the weekend as well. Nebraska men play at Ohio State tonight. Let's go to the phone lines. Bruce Furniture Fan Line. Good morning. Who are we chatting with? Good morning. Who are we chatting with?
Hey, this is Dave in Florida.
Hey Dave. What's
Dave,
going
how
on?
You doing?
Well, I was doing a lot better about this time yesterday, but obviously things didn't work out in our favor.
No, they didn't.
What's wrong, Dave? What's wrong with the whole deal?
Well, my whole deal is we sat in the south end zone right behind the Nebraska band, and the people who sat behind us would not get off their butts no matter what happened. Now, it's been probably 4 years since I've been back to Kearney and been to a game in Lincoln, and when we were there, everybody stood up, everybody cheered no matter what happened. Is Nebraska fan getting that bad? That's my question.
Oh. You know, no. No, Dave, no. Again, the one time that the Husker fans booed, and that was at halftime of the Ohio State game, which was after the second half debacle of the Wisconsin game. Husker fans made, you know, of course, then they started winning, so everybody's fired up. But a lot of the chat boards, a lot of the call-ins was just like, hey, guys, this isn't who we are. There's 100 morons, and there's 85,000 cheering for your football team or however many were in the stadium that day that were Nebraska fans. I guess I'll take that same here's what I'll say, Dave, without knowing who's all there, and I know it's not all the West Stadium people. But who can afford to get in a plane and go to Orlando? The older set of folks. Not everybody's 60, but that's what has been heard of. The West, you just refer to West Stadium, Nebraska, and they never do make any noise. They sit on their hands until the game's over, then they clap, and that's it. So,
oh, I understand that, you know, and I was happy. I was fortunate that, you know, I didn't have to get on a plane ride to see Nebraska. But talking to friends back in Kearney, they said, oh, it's just like that at home games. And I'm just shaking my head going, this is not the Nebraska that I remember. Yeah, we're not winning national titles like we did back in the 90s, but still, I mean, Nebraska fans are supposed to be with their team through thick and thin, and that's what we've always been known for. And I was, to be honest with you, me and my dad both were just very disappointed in Nebraska fan yesterday.
Well, okay, but part of the problem this year has been they've all been 11 o'clock games, which doesn't help anybody.
No.
You know, it's one of those things. You know, it's a little bit – it's not the night atmosphere when Colorado would roll in. Or you follow what I'm saying, Dave? I mean, it's not that atmosphere, or hasn't been this year for a lot of those games.
Oh, I understand that. But, you know, like Doug said, if you're going to spend the money and go to the game, get into it.
Well, you would – you would think so, and it brings up a whole another discussion that has been discussed numerous times with Husker fans and on radio shows, and sometimes the coaches have to bring it up. Bo Pelini has brought it up, you know, or sometimes the fans just aren't into it just because it's a low-scoring game or a non, you know, up-and-down-the-field type of game. So, and again, and hey, Dave, we always appreciate the call. Thanks for listening, and hey, Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you guys.
Daddy, you can't put the same type of people. I mean, there's 85,000 people, row 33. You might have some rambunctious people in front of a family of six with some little kids that just want to watch the football game and cheer, but you can't be a tool and just stand the whole game so that these kids can't see the game. Then on the other side of things, you can't be on the other side of that either. You can't just go, quit standing up! I paid for my ticket, too! But, I mean, this is... it has no outcome on the bowl game result.
No, I think you're right there. I think the thing that Husker fan is maybe... These are Pelini's own players now rolling through. You look up and down at the seniors leaving this program, and other than Levante David... And Dennard that are gone, after this year. I think, and throw Crick out because he was injured. Yeah, he would have been a big part of this deal. But you throw those two out. Doug, you go down to every other. Is Jamarcus Hardrick a loss? Austin Jones scored a touchdown in a spring game one time from Colorado. I mean, he's not a loss. Marcel Jones, big sells.
I'm just glad to never hear Yoshi again.
I mean, is he a loss?
Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
Rich.
Rich, what's on your mind today?
I'd just like to comment about the Husker fan. You know, I think I've lost passion for the Huskers. I'm still a fan, but, you know, 10 years ago, I used to scream and yell at the TV and throw things. And, you know, now I just kind of come to expect it. And is that because of the coaches? Or, you know, I'll say I've lost the passion for the Nebraska football. I'm still a fan, and I watch them all the time, the whole game. But, you know, I just ain't like I used to be. And is it because of the coaches made it that way? Because back in the 90s, you know, you didn't expect them to do this kind of stuff.
I think that's a great point, and I think I have some of that in me. I don't get all worked up.
No, I don't either anymore. You know, and I used to jump up and down, break things, yell at the TV. You know, my wife would just laugh at me. But anymore, I sit there like I'm 8 years old watching a football game. Well, it's almost like I've come to expect it. You know, Nebraska's going to drive down there, get in the red zone, and then they're going to have 5 penalties, take them out of it, or they're going to throw an interception before half, and the team's going to come back down and score before half. I mean, it's just like, okay, this is the way the game's going to go. And I just feel that it falls back on the coaches.
Rich, thanks for the call. Interesting point. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Tony, apathetic, apathy, the lack of caring, the definition pretty much of apathy about what's going on. In the day, Nebraska was always trying to play just to get to Oklahoma, and if you beat Oklahoma, you figured you had a chance to play for a national championship. And then when you're blowing everybody out, everybody's in a good mood. You got to see all the Nebraska kids play. The guys, you know, back in the day, you weren't expected to come on as a freshman and see any playing time. You were lucky to see a lot of playing time as a junior. And Nebraska was winning, and there were fewer games. More of them were at home. And since Nebraska hasn't competed for a national title now in a decade, yeah. I suppose, you know, 10 years, that's a little while. I mean, let's face it. You get all the way basically through your education, you know, 13 years, 11 years, whatever you want to say here, yeah. as long as Nebraska's really cared for. You grow from a college kid to a professional. You grow from a single partier to a family. You probably got a kid or two. I mean, your life changes in 10 years, and I can see how that happens. The problem is maybe, and we've talked about this, the younger crew hasn't ever experienced Nebraska being dominant. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Cody.
Cody, what's going on?
Not too much. Hey, I just wanted to kind of reflect on this. I mean, I think the thing is right now is Nebraska, we have unrealistic expectations of our team because of the 90s. You know, we look back at the 90s, and I mean, even me, I'm guilty of it. We look back at the 90s, and I compare everything to, you know, Tommy Frazier, to Eric Crouch, to the teams that we had in the 90s, and it's just not realistic right now. It took Tom Osborne how many years after getting a good team from Devaney to win a national championship, and now we're expecting Bo to do it in 5 and 4 and 3, and we're, it just seems like the expectations are a little too high for what we got going on right now. I mean, the competition and the SEC, the Pac-12, everything, I mean, everything's higher now. It's not as easy to win national championships, and I think people need to relax. He's won 9 games. He's a good coach. It's going to take time to get everything instilled and get things going.
Cody, I appreciate the call. Some folks aren't going to agree with that because they don't think that Nebraska's been improving. They haven't got to 10 or 11 wins. They haven't won a conference championship, even though they played in the last 2 Big 12s.
I think a lot of people have a problem with yesterday watching the Rose Bowl, then watching the Fiesta Bowl, looking at the speed on the field, and going, boy, that looks different than the product we're putting on the field. Whether that's a fair assessment or not, that's what people watch. That's what people say. I don't know. All I'm saying is, Tom Osborne, when he did it, when he got successful doing it, they had a built-in advantage. He had Prop 48s. To get those type of kids to come here, I don't know what you got to do to get them to come here. The facilities are second to none. I understand that. But when they got all the other options out there, and you got the California weather, and you got the Florida weather, and throw in the Texas weather, it looks, maybe it's tougher to get the kid to come to Nebraska. I don't know.
Let's see. John says, not taking anything away from a bad offensive game, but Alshon Jeffrey had a major offensive pass interference that wasn't called. How a blatant push in the back to get separation. Bad, 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 bad. Besides Nebraska not playing away well, also winning the MVP and being ejected, not a class move by the Capital One Bowl group. I think the Capital One Bowl group was put in a real bad situation there. There was absolutely nobody else you could have given the award to. I think Capital One gave it to him. Television gave it to Connor Shaw. Connor Shaw. Good God, he'd be third string on the Huskers. He would.
Well, you're probably
right. He would. He wasn't. He's not good. It's a bad situation. Kenny Miles caught the last two touchdowns. Two catches, 13 yards. He had a run and a reception, okay? And then 15 for 68. Maybe that's the kid you could have given it to. It was a bad deal. Bad deal between Jeffrey and him. Hey, we got to take a break. Before we do, remind you that it is lunchtime, and every Tuesday, coming to the Chicken Coop for Wing Basket Night. Every Tuesday night, just $5 for a basket of 10 flame-broiled wings with your choice from over a dozen wing flavors. Every Tuesday night, you can get them hot, get them sweet, or get them with a zing. Rehash the bowl game. Watch Michigan and Virginia Tech tonight at the Sugar Bowl. Check out the NBA and all that's going on every day at the Chicken Coop. Open 7 days a week with great food and drink specials every night. Lunch specials every day. And don't forget, it is Wing Basket Night. $5, 10 flame-broiled wings. Get a couple baskets. Check them all out with your friends and family at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island. Back after this.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Let's take another question.
Hi, Flo. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts.
Great, but that's not really a question.
Oh, you're right. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts?
Still not quite right, but you get the idea. Progressive makes it easy to save.
Right.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Whoa, what are you doing?
What?
The suit of armor, what?
Oh, I'm headed to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the game.
And you're wearing a suit of armor because...
It's postseason. Anything goes.
What are you talking about?
People get crazy for these games. Everyone's all amped up. You gotta be ready.
And wearing 80 pounds of steel is how you get ready?
You have a better idea?
Well, I don't think there's a worse idea.
It's going to be fandemonium at Buffalo Wild Wings all postseason long. With award-winning wings, ice-cold beer, and wall-to-wall games. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies will develop through the day today as temperatures top off at about 56. The winds will also turn to the northwest, increasing to 10 to 20. Tonight, with mainly clear skies, will fall up to 26. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 36.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Back to the Dent Popper inbox. Maybe you old farts are just spoiled from the 90s, but I'm still loud and strongly proud of the Huskers. Nebraska has young guys filling roles, and I believe the future looks good. Just one fan's perspective. You want to take the young guy thing again? You hate that. I know you hate that. Lord of Grand Island says, ouch, tough weekend for you guys. Are the Huskers lacking in player leadership? You don't hear a lot about players standing up, at least not vocally. Not supposed to. Are you, Tony? Not supposed to. You're supposed to be a leader. It's not out for the public to see. I don't believe in the quiet leader, and when things go bad, like turnovers and penalties and the losses, it was like they completely fall apart. No discipline at all. I still love the Huskers, and I'm teaching my kids to love the Big Red, but damn, they sure frustrate the hell out of you. Born in Grand Island.
New year, Douglas, and new furniture heading into the new year is what you need, Bruce Furniture. That's Mike right now because he's been slashing prices. Ever since he got to work yesterday, he's slashing prices. The lowest prices around, plus there's no after-sale add-ins or add-ons. There's no fine print. They'll have it delivered when you want it delivered. It's all about you, the customer. You want it delivered next Tuesday? That's fine. They'll get you on the schedule. They'll deliver it when you're available. You want it delivered this afternoon? Boom goes dynamite. They'll make it happen. Bruce Furniture, just right for you and just fast enough for you. Check them out today. Kearney Holder Tastings. If you're out west of the Lions, they'd love you to stop in. No need to clear out that old furniture as well. They'll take care of it. They got just the right movers for you. They'll move it out, move in the new stuff. Plus, you get an in-home trial period. Don't like it when it gets there? Doesn't match the wall like you thought it would look so nice next to? No problem. They'll replace it with the color of your choosing. Bruce Furniture, just right for you.
Let's make somebody a winner. Our first winner of 2012 with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. 888-455-3776. The winner gets a $25 gift card from Troutman's Quality Meats. So give us a buzz right now at 888-455-3776, and we'll give you a trivia question on today's program.
It's going to be a tough trivia question, and hopefully, the first win should be a tough one, though. If you're going to be the first winner of 2012, you need to make it happen. You need to do it right, so be ready to go. 1-888-455-3776.
Oh, man. While we wait for the phone lines to reset over there. Saturday, January 7th, following the Kearney North Platte boys basketball game, the Kearney basketball players and coaches would like to invite all 3rd through 7th grade boys to hang around for an evening of fun, food, and basketball with the team. Costs just $5 at Kearney High's main gym. Basketball skills clinic contest. It was a great time. There's a pizza party. They did it last year. For more information, you can contact Kearney High boys basketball coach Scott Steinbrook. That's coming up on January the 7th, this Saturday. For more information, contact Kearney High and Coach Steinbrook. Give us a buzz at 888-455-3776 if you would like to be a part of Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Bill.
Bill, here we go. Yesterday was the 18th time that Nebraska has played an SEC team in a bowl game. 18 times. How many times has Nebraska won?
3.
That is incorrect. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Dallas.
Nebraska won 11 straight bowl games against SEC opponents.
So, Bill, it's been more than 11.
Yeah. So, Nebraska won 11 straight bowl games against SEC opponents between 1969 and 1999. What SEC school broke that streak?
Oh. Auburn?
Incorrect, although they did beat Nebraska since 1999. Try back, 888-455-3776. We're doing Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Sean.
Sean, we had the Nebraska won 11 straight bowl games against the SEC from 69 to 99. Which SEC school broke that streak?
Oh, it was Eli Manning. It was he went to one of the Mississippi schools. Ole Miss, the Rebels.
That is correct. In the Independence Bowl, 27-23. Hey, hang on the line. Jeff will get you hooked up with your $25 gift card to Troutman's. Thanks so much for the call today.
Thank you.
Hang on the line. Nebraska has won 12. They're 12-6 after yesterday's loss all time against the SEC.
That's for a lot. I think if you'd have thrown that question out, I think you would have got a lot more. Not three. I think that was funny, Bill. I appreciate the humor in that. But I think you would have got a lot more guesses.
And,
yeah, the losing record versus the SEC.
Here's one for you, Daddy. Nebraska has also played 18 bowl games in the state of Florida before yesterday. They were 8-10 in those bowl games in Florida. So now they're 8-11. 0-1 in the Capital One Bowl. Now they're 0-2. 7-9 in the Orange Bowl. 1-0. In the Gator Bowl. There you go.
Gator Bowl.
Interesting column by Tom Chattel, guaranteeing that Nebraska will play in the Rose Bowl next year.
I like that.
Because the Huskers do have a non-conference game at UCLA. But he also spells out that Nebraska should be in line to win their division in the Big Ten. Just the way things shake out.
17 out of 22 players come back. I guess there's – is there – I don't know that there's that
– I always have to look. We are in the Legends division.
Legends, yes. Legends. Doug, do you think we need more – everybody thinks we got everybody back on the offensive side of the ball. There's no real spot. I think Kyler Reed should be implemented, should be such a huge part of this offense, catching the football next year. And you know, then you got to say, oh, yeah, somebody get him the ball. I understand that. We got the ball down the field to Marlow yesterday, right in the breadbasket, and couldn't hold on to it. That's disappointing as well. But defensive side of the ball, you're losing all three of the playmakers. You thought the preseason All-Americans, 1, 2, and 3, they're all gone. How do you replace those guys? I think defensive line is going to be a huge, huge concern.
Yeah, well, we're not going to be strong in every position. There's no doubt about that. One other interesting stat before we go back to the Bruce Furniture fan line here. I took the bowl games back to the Boise State game. That's the last time I had printed off the odds from Vegas. The favorite, not covering, but winning, is 20-4 in those 24 bowl games. The underdogs that have won, Tulsa, and they were a 2-point dog. Utah in overtime, they were a 3-point dog. Cincinnati, they were a 1-2 point dog. And then Michigan State, who had to win in triple overtime. There have not been any major upsets in college football so far. Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line. Who are we chatting with?
Hey, this is Sean again. Just wanted to comment on the season here. I think at the beginning of the year, didn't everybody kind of predict 9-10 wins? We heard a lot of the guys, Sean Callahan and Matt Davidson, said they think we might have a better team this year, but it won't show in the win-loss record with 12 new opponents. I'm disappointed with how the season ended, but it's kind of how I expected, and I think our offense is going to be really good next year. Like you said, we got a lot of holes still on defense, but I don't know, optimistic for next year and disappointed, as I think everybody should be in the end of this year. But overall, it's like a beat.
Sean, thanks so much. And that is our ATS Hot Topic. You can vote on ESPNSuperstation.com. You're exactly right. But Husker fan and a lot of fans are this way. Yeah, we said, 9 or 10 wins, that'd be a pretty darn good season, except then when it's the end of the season and you forget that with 9 or 10 wins come 2 or 3 losses. And yeah, the way it ended yesterday, it's frustrating. I do believe Nebraska probably was the better football team. Now, if South Carolina had their studs back, just like Nebraska was missing a couple studs, who knows where these teams would have been? Maybe they would have been in even better situations. It's very hard to tell.
Well, I think you go back over and look over the year, Doug, and you go back and you say, well, you know, the one thing that's totally unacceptable was the loss to Northwestern. I get that. I understand how it's frustrating. But you got to look at the other side of things going, the biggest comeback in school history isn't always going to happen either. So if you'd lost Ohio State and beat Northwestern, you're right in the same spot anyway.
Couple other things that are non-Nebraska football related, and we haven't even touched on the NFL. And yes, we know the Dallas Cowboys lost. Adam Wilcox of the Tri-City Storm is the co-USHL goaltender of the week. He had his first shutout for the Storm New Year's Eve. They've won five of their last six. Just, you know, pointing that out. They go on the road.
And they knocked Omaha off, who'd been red hot, too.
3-0. So sad. I know this is something you want to know. Nebraska Danger have signed a Central Nebraska native in Mike Jones. He was an outstanding athlete at Sutton High School, played at Midland in Fremont in the mid-2000s, but he's been playing a lot with the Omaha Beef and the Colorado Ice 6 years in the Indoor Football League.
I know this is something you want to know. Did you hear what Dennis Rodman is now coaching?
No.
New topless women's basketball league.
Well, that was serious, huh?
Yeah. So good for Dennis.
Why wouldn't he be? Let us update our bowl picks before we go into the break here. Ooh, God. On my main one, I'm 13-10. It's good to see that I went outside the box here and went 1-5 yesterday. Good job, Doug. I'm 14-15. How about you?
I'm 21-8, and I've clinched.
What?
I have clinched. Yes, you will be getting a pedicure.
How in the... What? Did you go undefeated yesterday?
I pretty much just been dominating, Douglas.
Last time we checked, I thought I was hanging with you.
Yeah, you were 10-4. I was... What were you? 10-4, and you were... Well, it was the Alamo Bowl.
10-8. On Friday. After I was 8-6.
Okay, and I was 10-4.
Okay.
And I was 10-4. After December 30th, I was 14-4. I went 4-for-4 that day.
Good Lord. All right.
31st, 17-6. Now 21-8.
I went 1-5 yesterday. Shocking. My one win, Oklahoma State. And Stanford missed a field goal to help me win that one. Good God. Let's take a look overall at the Big Daddy's Deli leaderboard playing for our grand prize from Misco's. And our leader right now, we have a four-way tie with 18 wins. There no you, Daddy. Mark M., Jason A., who's been there the whole way, Andy and Mitch. We can officially say, Eric, you're as bad as me, if not worse. You're 11-18. Sorry, big fella. Do you know that every single one of these took Nebraska? Every single one of them took Nebraska in the Capital One Bowl. So what do we got left? We got four games left? Or did we give them those crap games, too, like Arkansas State, Northern Illinois? Well, how many we got left, Jeffrey? Oh, yeah, we gave them that crap game. So we got 6 games left. 6 games left. Possibility. One back is Sean at 17-12. 16-13, Jim and Mark R. So it is not over yet. This one, I can't believe that someone hasn't pulled away. 18-11, very impressive. But then again, we're only asking them to pick the winner. And when 20 of the 24 have, you know, there you go. If you just took the favorite, you'd be way ahead. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk a little NFL when we come back.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. The new year is here, and it's time to get serious about getting in shape. I'm talking about P90X. For the past 2 years, I've been passionate about P90X. Why? I lost 13 pounds, 2 inches on my waist. It changed my life. Of course, everyone experiences different, but for me, P90X has gotten me in the best shape of my life. And now there's P90X2. That's Tony Horton's all-new program. P90X2 builds on P90X, but it's also all about performance, improving athleticism, coordination, and stabilization. It's designed to make you a better overall athlete. So which program is for you? Look, if you haven't tried the original P90X, you want to get absolutely ripped in 90 days, start with that. Trust me, you're going to get the best shape of your life. But if you want to go next level, go to P90X2. Join me, make the commitment today. Whichever one you choose, order today. No more excuses. Here's how you do it. Call 800-832-7575. That's 800-832-7575. Or visit ESPNradio.com/Doug now. Again, 800-832-7575. Or visit ESPNradio.com/Doug.
When the fish are under the ice, the one thing they find irresistible is wax worms. They love them, even though it gets them in trouble. Ice fishermen, on the other hand, have no trouble buying wax worms and all sorts of live bait at the Boathouse at their new Highway 281 location north of Grand Island. The Boathouse, with all the chubs and grubs and minnows and stinky, crawly, luscious bait the fish can't resist. See the Boathouse north of Grand Island on 281 for repair and used boats, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
I asked my husband if I can join his fantasy league this year. He just laughed. Little did he know, I've been going to Cunningham's Journal for lunch every week, the perfect place for sports fans like myself to keep up with my favorite teams, and not to mention the food is so good. Anyways, a fantasy spot opened up, and guess who's laughing now and winning? If you're an ultimate sports fan, enjoy a good lunch, a drink with friends, and live entertainment. The place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
You can time shift Doug and Daddy. If weekdays at 11 aren't convenient, download or listen to a podcast. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com. You can go back far enough and find shows where they talk about who might replace Bob Devaney or whether the wishbone was unstoppable. Nah, but you can hear what you missed this week. Doug and Daddy Podcast. Think of them as TiVo without all those nasty cable bills. Brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft, downtown Kearney.
Sunny skies will develop through the day today as temperatures top off at about 56. The winds will also turn to the northwest, increasing to 10 to 20. Tonight, with mainly clear skies, will fall up to 26. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 36.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Mention the Husker Manor at Ohio State tonight, 5:35 on the Big Ten Network and 12:30 AM KHAS. Jordan Hooper led the Huskers to a win over Penn State since we last spoke. They move up to number 19 in the AP poll, and Hooper, for the third time in 4 weeks, gets a part of the Big Ten Player of the Week award. She's had been co before this week. It's all hers. They host Indiana on Thursday night. UNK dropped both their games over the weekend. Hastings College men went 1-1 at Columbia, Missouri, and the women went 2-1 out in California. They play at Dort tomorrow. UNK will host Shadron State on Saturday afternoon. Also, the wrestling team's off to the Cliff Keen National Duels, and Hastings Wrestling hosts their Quality Inn Open on Saturday. We talked about the storm. Finally, there is a little high school basketball tonight. Adams Central Sandy Creek on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, tipping off at 6:15. Central Catholic and Northwest play in Grand Island tonight, among the games in the area. As we get back to it, and now we look at the NFL.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's going to murder Denver, aren't they?
I'll watch the Michigan game tonight, Virginia Tech. I could care less about Clemson and West Virginia tomorrow night. And then I'll be working basketball when you get the Cotton Bowl game, which I think will have some interest with Kansas State in it. I think there'll be some interest there as they take on Arkansas. But then next Monday night, the national championship game. So
it's all wrapping up. It's all wrapping up, except the NFL just getting started, Douglas. Denver limps in. That's the one that is catching so much attention. I thought this one, the over-under, I thought Denver would be a 10-point, or Pittsburgh would be a 10-point favorite, and the over-under would be 14.5. I joked about that. They're going to murder that team, and Pittsburgh can't score, can they?
Hey, you know, the way I like to look at things, yeah, Mendenhall gets hurt. Roethlisberger isn't 100% on the road at Denver. I mean, This is exactly where the Seattle Seahawks were last year. There's no way Seattle should have beat New Orleans last year, and the emergence of Marshawn Lynch began in that football game.
You're exactly right.
Saturday's games, here you go. A lot of people can never figure it out because they wait to see. I mean, it's easy. We were talking about it. I said, who's the game that has zero television market appeal? Cincinnati-Houston. That's the first game Saturday. Just like if it's Seattle, no doubt, they always got that game. Always. When Seattle's in the playoffs, they always get the early Saturday game. Even last year against New Orleans. Cincinnati at Houston, that is your 3:30 game. And, of course, they're all here on ESPN. And then Detroit at New Orleans. I was a little surprised. I thought that game would trump the Atlanta Giants game, but it is New York, so they're putting that on Sunday. So Detroit-New Orleans is the Saturday night game at 7. Then at noon Sunday, Atlanta at the Giants, and the 3:30 game, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at Denver, primetime Sunday afternoon spot because of Tim Tebow.
It's amazing. You know, you look at the money they gave him. Well, look at what his money's made him, too.
Right now, Houston is a 3-point favorite. New Orleans is a 10.5 to an 11-point favorite, which I have to say does surprise me a little bit, although I know New Orleans is playing very, very well.
Houston's one that surprises me. As bad as they've been lately, and I know Andre Johnson's back, and I know you got Arian Foster is going to be ready to go, but the quarterback situation, Andy Dalton playing in that conference, wow.
But nobody looks at Houston's defense, one of the top defenses in the National Football League. That should be a low-scoring game if Cincinnati plays well. Atlanta at the Giants. The Giants are favored by 3. And Pittsburgh at Denver. Pittsburgh, now with Mendenhall officially out, is a 8.5-point favorite Pittsburgh is. I will say this, just like I did when the World Series started, or when the Major League Baseball playoffs started. If the New York Giants play in the Super Bowl, I will puke on the air. Well, wherever we're at the time that they win the NFC Championship, I will vomit. So I'm just warning you.
Because
remember I said I didn't want the Cardinals to do it because I thought they backed him. So
I'm shocked that they're favored over Atlanta. I know the game's in New York, and I know what a big presence that has as far as setting lines goes. But Atlanta seems to be playing very, very well. And yes, I literally did put up those points. They're up 42-0 with 8 minutes left in the first half. Yes, it was Tampa Bay.
Boy, Raheem, he didn't want to be there anymore, apparently, and they didn't want him there. They showed it by laying down against the Falcons. And finally, as Jeff, our producer, points out, Ryan Clark has the problems with the sickle cell anemia about going into Denver when they play there before. He didn't make the trip. Right now, it sounds like he's going to chance playing.
That's, you know, he was.
I just don't know enough about it. I don't know how much his health is at risk. I mean, it is, and it sounds like a. You know, it could be bad.
You're right. That's a weird deal. And it becomes, he's going to see two more doctors, is that right, early this week to get another, get clearance supposedly from them? I don't know. Like you said, tough for us to make comments when we don't know the ailments of, I mean, we're not medicine doctors by any means. We prove that every day on this show.
I'm going to give them to you right now. Who's going to cover on Saturday and Sunday. So this will give you plenty of time to get to the pawn shop, get all the money you can get through the bank, whatever you need to do, max the credit card out and go the other way. I'll take Houston. I'll take Detroit. I'll take the Denver Broncos. And I'm not sure about Atlanta and the Giants. I want Atlanta. That's the problem. I want Atlanta. See this, but Atlanta just blew up last year when they had to face Green Bay, and they're going to be playing in the cold this time around. I hate the Giants, but I got a gut feeling that they're going to win that dang game.
Okay, I'll give you the Giants.
I may change that later in the week. The other three I'm good with. Hey, tomorrow we've got Loper Link. We get back into recapping the Huskers season. We've got a lot more for you, so be with us. Thanks for joining us and for all the phone calls and emails on today's show.
Ryan Clark is not playing. Just received word that Ryan Clark will not play versus the Denver Broncos. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Okay.